This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I'm Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's January 30th, episode 1094, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Really?
Yes, what day it is today?
There we
Sunday.
Go.
No, it's
Sorry.
Friday.
I can't believe it. I just don't believe it.
What's going to happen?
Something wonderful.
Thank God it's...
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Thank God it's...
Absolutely, it's Friday, TGIF, it's Freestyle Friday, and Glenn is not here, obviously. Jennifer got rid of him. She kicked him out. He's gone.
I put him on a plane and sent him packing.
It's a girls' party weekend down in Ocala, Florida, I'm sure. No, Glenn is actually heading to ADA, which, for those who don't know, it's the American, what is it called? What is it, Jennifer? The American Equestrian Trade Association. So what it is a bunch of retailers, people that, like, make horse stuff, sell horse stuff to your local tack shops. And that's where the people go that, like, say your local tack shop, they go to ADA to, like, look at Carrot's products and look at different products that they might want to sell in their store. So Glenn goes, and usually, it used to be before I had a kid, and Jennifer and I would go and just try to buy things, even though they don't really sell them. We'd be like, hey, after this is over, this weekend's over, can I have that? Can I have that?
Right.
So we would get a lot of stuff that we would damage our credit card with. So I think that's why he left us at home, Jennifer.
I'm pretty sure that's what happened, because the January show is considerably bigger than the August show, and all the new stuff for spring is going to be there, and he knows I'm in the market for some new riding clothes. Yeah.
Yeah. But being the husband he is, he will not bring you anything home. Is that correct?
Well, he normally doesn't. He doesn't like to drag stuff home, because heaven forbid we should have to have an extra bag on the plane. Hello? But what I did is I took an empty, soft-sided piece of luggage, and I tucked it in right next to his socks, so he's sure to see it. And as a little hint, we'll see if he gets it.
Yeah. Build this thing up, puppy.
Yeah.
Speaking of puppy, if you hear anything disconnect, it's because I have a puppy that is wide awake and a cat who is very angry, both at my feet right now. So World War III could be coming any minute, so just so you know. We do have a good show. It's a girls' party here. No males at all. Even our guests
You're
are
right.
female, so you got to love that. Mm-hmm. We've got coming up, I'm so excited. Will you tell us about the first guest?
Maribel, I'm sure I'm saying this wrong, and I apologize in advance, Maribel. Maribel Rivas is a member of Las Azaleas, which is a drill team group, and they compete in a sport called Escaramuza, which translated, as near as I can tell, means skirmish. And anyone familiar with their cavalry Civil War history knows what skirmish is when you're on a horse, and they freaking do it side saddle. So I'm very excited about chatting with Maribel to learn all about this really cool sport.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. So anybody doing side saddle, as you guys know by listening to Wednesday's show with Liz Falcon and Leslie Wiley about all the pictures of people jumping side saddle, gosh, those people are crazy. So we'll have to hear a little bit about that. And I'm
super
excited.
And then we've got another cool lady.
I know. I'm so excited for our second guest, Alisa Wallace, who was in the Mustang Makeover, or I guess the Mustang Magic, this last one, and talks about, we had her on a while ago talking about winning Win, her mare that she was doing the makeover with, and we'll have to find out from her how she did in the Magic and if she won the mare and what life is like as an eventer on Mustang. So we will talk to her again. But I have something after the Daily Winnies to also tell you about, but let's do the Daily Winnie.
Me first.
You going to hit the button?
Well, yeah, I'm going to hit it for the third time now. There we go.
Okay.
I have a preemptive Winnie today, and it is for the dozen or so brave souls who are currently flying or driving to Ada in Philadelphia, where it's sub-zero, and they're going to agree to be guests on Monday's live show at Philadelphia. And these people, for the most part, have no idea who Glenn is and when I'm there, who I am. And for some reason, they have some kind of a false sense of faith in humanity, or the booth next to them is paying it forward and encouraging them to do it. And they're guests on our show on Monday morning, and it's complete crazy bedlam on Monday's show, and I'm going to miss it a lot. So my Winnie to all those folks who agree to be our great guests.
And Colleen Peachy is actually going to be co-hosting with Glenn. She's a listener of ours.
Yep.
Who actually, I don't know what she does in the trade association world, but somehow she's always there. So Glenn wrangled her to be his co-host. So good luck. Okay, it's been a crazy, hellacious week here at Flyover Farm. I've got horses with bleeding ulcers in their mouth, and, you know, the vets came. I've been under quarantine all week long because the fact that they thought that I had VS on my property, which is vesicular stomatitis, which is a highly contagious oral disease. It's contagious to people. It's a total nightmare to have. And the blood tests are back, Jennifer. Let's find out what happened. The envelope, please. And they're negative. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. VS is negative. I no longer am under quarantine. Thank you very much. And I got to say, Jennifer, it was a really good thing that I had to call my Hay guy after I got the blood test. Because what it is now officially is foxtail in my hay. And had
wow.
you have called me, I had to call him on like Tuesday or Wednesday when this whole thing really kind of came to a head, he might be dead. Or I might be dead. I mean, I was fit to be tied. I was so angry. As you know, I get a little fiery at times. And I was quite upset about the fact that my horses are in so much pain, but having several days to calm down and plan what I was going to say, I actually handled it very well, according to my husband. He said I did a good job. So I call him and I'm like, hey, Robert, this is the hay guy lives in my neighborhood, okay? And he's a great guy. I really have liked every batch of hay I've gotten from him for the last 2 years. So, you know, I started thinking stuff happens. He didn't put it in there on purpose, and I'm sure that it's going to screw him way more than it screws me because he does, like, a lot of this. So I call him up, and I tell him, I said, can you come over after you get off the tractor? Because he's on the tractor when I called him, of course. And he's like, what's going on? And I said, well, I just need to talk to you about the hay. What's the problem with the hay? So I told him, and he immediately got defensive, but then I just stayed cool and I stayed calm and I said, listen, I'm not mad at you. Stuff happens. I just need to make this right. I've got about $600 in vet bills that I'm looking at right now, and I've lost a week of teaching riding lessons, which at this point, honestly, is not very much. So I said, you know, if you can just give me a new batch of hay that equals all of this and take all this other crap out of here. So we're looking at, you know, I'm still going to buy hay from him. I'm not super mad that it happened. And cooler heads prevailed. And he actually responded very well. He came over. He looked at the hay. He took some samples. He's going to take it to his guy. My horses for a while are going to be on pelleted hay anyway. So I said, I'm not in a huge hurry. Get whatever you need to get done. He's like, super apologetic if that's he's still not convinced that's what it is. And here's the kicker, Jennifer, and I'd like to ask your opinion. He's like, we pay a guy a lot of money every year to make sure that weeds like this don't get into our hay fields. So I'm going to take it to that guy, and I'm going to have him let me know whether this is actually foxtail or not, and then I'll let you know.
And anyway, I'm thinking, because, yeah, wow.
But I'm thinking, why would he say it is foxtail if it's his job to make sure foxtail is not in the fields?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, you got to wonder about his motivation, but hello, if you find a piece of foxtail in there, it's like, hello, it's a fact. It's sitting here looking at me. It's right in my hand. You can't tell me it's not foxtail.
There's so much of it in this hay. I mean,
really?
So I think what I need to do is I need to contact, and if anybody has any experience with this, let me know. But I know you can contact your county extension agent. I have heard that float around several times. I don't know what that means, who that is.
See, here's what it is.
I live
Jamie.
In Waddell. What is it?
There's a position within the government system called a county extension agent. And you know how the Nick Fury of S.H.I.E.L.D., nobody ever sees him. He's just a shadow. That's what the county extension agent is. He exists somewhere in time and space. But nobody can find him, and nobody can contact him. That's the county extension agent.
That's what I want to know, is how can I find him, and how can I contact him? That is what I would like to know. So if anybody knows where the Waddell, Arizona County Extension Agent is, I'm in Maricopa County, that would be great. Google that for me and send it on.
And I have never had any success finding that actual person, seriously, though, because I've looked and, like,
I just think that some guy that is employed to not have weeds in the hay is going to be like, this ain't foxtail. This is, because actually one of the vets that looked at this hay goes, no, that's not foxtail. That's Timothy. Like, there's no Timothy in Arizona. Trust me. I've tried to find it. So I thought when I got the hay,
it's actually grown in Arizona.
Oh, yeah. This hay is grown in my neighborhood. That's why
it would be pretty tough to get Timothy to grow in Arizona. Pretty tough. Yeah.
It's very tough. But I thought I got a really cool grass mix that's got Timothy in it. But a vet who – my veterinarian works at a clinic where there's four vets total. Two vets said, oh, this is VS. That's Timothy. And the other two said, this is foxtail. So it's very hard to determine when the foxtail is young. You know, it's not old and it's not huge and sharp at this time. It's kind of young and fuzzy. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. And there's different species
anyway,
of foxtail. It's not all the same.
That's true.
There's
so
different subspecies.
I did want to give a shout out to one of our listeners, because you guys, when this happened, I was not super excited to talk about it because, you know, my horses are bleeding from the mouth and I might have some contagious disease and I'm going to have to be shut down and quarantined, you know, so it wasn't really one thing that I really wanted to talk about, but I decided to talk about it and whatever. I'm kind of transparent on this show. And I got a message from a listener. I will just call her Stacy, just Stacy. I got an email from her, and I just thought this was awesome. She said, I just wanted to thank Jamie for sharing her story about foxtails in the hay. I've been noticing an unusual seed pod in my grass hay, but thought nothing of it. After hearing her story, I did some research and found it is foxtails. I checked my horse's lips and found a sore. I will stop beating the hay immediately thanks to her. Just wanted to thank you for the valuable information you guys provide, blah, blah, blah. Catching a problem has sure helped it from getting worse. Best wishes to Jamie and her horses. That's exactly why I wanted to talk about it. The fact that one person was able to avoid this nightmare really makes me feel great, and like it was worth it. So I might have embarrassing moments, and I might have to share them with you guys, but as long as somebody can benefit from it, that's kind of what it's all about. So,
thank you, Stacy,
for sharing that.
Prompted me. I'm going to see if I can't, and this is so hard to do because they're county extension agents and they live in the shadows. find somebody to come on and talk a little bit about, because you go online and you go to Google Images and you type in foxtail, you get lots and lots and lots of pictures of foxtail alive, growing. And that's not at all what it looks like once it's been squished into a bale of hay.
Right.
I'm trying to find somebody who will come on and talk about the different types of things you're likely to find in hay. Not because necessarily it's going to kill your horse, but stuff that's common. You see it all the time that you're going to find in hay, so people can recognize what's in the bale. But what it looks like when it's in the bale.
Yeah, and here's what I'll do, Jennifer, is when I find that elusive county extension agent, I will send him your way.
put an RFD chip in him, you know? Just put a chip in him so we can track him and maybe get comfortable with their natural movement.
Our listener, Uta, has sent me the phone number for my county extension agent and also said that she checked out her hay, with a, fine-tooth comb when she got home that night, too. Ah, love you guys. Thanks. Y'all make me feel good.
And, more people should do that and do it before. It's so easy to just grab the flake and chuck it to where you need to chuck it to. And I think if more of us were more cognizant of that, it becomes very easy to spot things that are out of place when you get in the habit of it.
He's in my neighborhood, and he'll be like, yeah, I got a bale at the house if you want to go check it out, and I'll go over to his house. And I'm like, I'm looking at a bale of hay. Looks good, dude. Sure. I mean, I can't cut it. If I could cut it open or whatever, but he's like, I said, what am I supposed to look for when I'm looking at the tag? He's like, grab the strings, pull it, see if it's nice and tight and a good bale, And I'm like, but what am I supposed to look for as far as a good bale? Is it colorful? Mm-hmm. Is it supposed to be wet? Is it supposed to be really dry? Is it supposed to have a lot of stuff? I would welcome a hay expert, Jennifer, to come on the show. That'd be awesome.
I will do my best to find a hay expert who is willing to come on and talk about hay. They're hard to find, though.
Get to work right now. Make it happen.
Well, I think our first guest this morning for our 9:15 spot might be having a little trouble getting through. So we're going to cross our fingers that her technology works. By the way, if you're listening to our show right now, Arabelle, you need to call 347-637-3238 so we can get connected. And so in the meantime,
I got another one for you.
Uh-oh.
I got another story. No, this is exciting news, Jennifer. The Budweiser commercial has been released. It is out. And I can't imagine that all of our listeners have not already seen it, but I cannot spoil it for you if you have not seen it, because everybody should experience watching this Bud commercial the first time without knowing what's going to happen. So I'm not going to spoil it for you, but OMG, it's amazing. Amazing. So I'm going to find the link and I will post it on our Facebook page while Jennifer is interviewing Maribel if she calls in. And I'm not kidding you guys. It's so great. Did you see it yet, Jen?
I've seen it and...
Did you cry?
It was a good commercial, but I think I liked... See, this is a sequel now, right? To the original... one with Don Jeans. I think I might like the first episode a little bit better.
No. Well, they're all good. And you start to think about, how many stories can they tell of these, of a Clydesdale and a puppy? And, I just thought it was so great. I really liked what they did. I can't talk about it because you need to see it yourself, but I liked it. I liked it.
So when are you allowed to spoil it? Are you allowed to spoil it after the Super Bowl?
After the Super Bowl.
Is that when you're allowed to
spoil
it?
After the Super Bowl, it's your own responsibility to see it on the Super Bowl. Hey, I do have some cool news about what's going to happen before the Super Bowl. Do you want to go ahead and pick up that line that's calling?
Yep, I'm going to check that caller, and you tell everybody about it.
Okay, so before the Super Bowl, you guys, you need to watch, TVG or whatever, HRTV or whatever horse racing thing you work at, because Texas Red is kind of an early favorite of mine to go win the Kentucky Derby. He's 3 years old this year. He won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Stakes back in October, November 1st, and he won it very convincing. But my husband was like, never bet on a horse named Texas Red, because he's from Oklahoma and they're maroon and OU and all that. And he thought Texas Red was for some of the college down there or whatever. Well, Texas Red is actually named Texas because he's got a bunch of like non-horse people owners that kind of like bought into him. And they named him Texas Red because they live in Texas and they wanted to name him after Secretariat. So that's why his last name is Red. Texas Red, named after the owners in Texas, and they wanted to honor Kentucky, and so they picked the name Red as Secretariat. How cool is that? See, that changed the whole thing for me. So Texas Red is racing about 2 hours before kickoff, and it's going to be the 7-furlong San Vicente Stakes. It goes off 2 hours before kickoff at Santa Anita. I think it's at Santa Anita. Let's see. I'll find out. But the cool part is he's trained and part owned by Keith DeSormo. Well, you know Kent DeSormo, the Hall of Fame jockey, who is the rider of Texas Red. So it's just a really cool story. I'm excited. Huh. I like the horse. Yeah, exactly. Keith DeSormo, Kent DeSormo, and Jennifer, you missed it. His name is Texas Red because they named him, the owners are from Texas, and they wanted to honor Secretariat. I mean, come on.
No. Now, is the horse related to Secretariat in any way, shape, or form? Do we know?
Oh, everybody's related to Secretariat somehow, I'm sure. So.
Go ahead.
Yeah, they bought him, Kent DeSormo bought him as a yearling at Keeneland for $17,000. And he's already won almost $2 million. So he was actually voted second for the Eclipse Award this year. So he's beating out Bob Baffert trained horses. So you got to love that. You got to love that. Bob Baffert 51 was like a total jerk. So now I'm totally cheering for Texas Red, just so you know.
You know those sweatshirts you can buy that say, I'm rooting whoever is playing against the Cowboys?
Yes.
I want one of those that says, I'm rooting for whoever's racing against Bob.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Well, our first guest this morning is here and ready to rock and roll. Welcome to the show, Maribel.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. Now, what part of the country are you in right now, Maribel?
Well, I am in a little city called Paris, California.
It sounds beautiful, is it?
It's early for you. My gosh, you poor thing.
Yes, it is. It is very early. I was, I'm having my kids. They're getting ready for school.
Oh, jeez. Well, the reason I contacted Maribel is somehow randomly I came across a YouTube trailer for a documentary called, and I apologize because I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, Escaramuza Riding from the Heart, and it's a documentary film. And I watched the trailer and said, dang, got to talk to these gals, because I had never seen anything like Escaramuza. So let's start out, Maribel, and tell me a little bit about what Escaramuza is and where it got started.
Well, of course, this is the national sport for Mexico, and it got started there and back in the Revolutionary Wars. And we were Adelitas back then, and the Adelitas, you know, they would, their husbands would send the women off to try to confuse the enemies. And that's
really?
Where we come. Yes, and that's where we come. Yeah. So now, I mean, of course, back then it wasn't tricks, you know, like stunts or any kind of crosses. And yeah, they would do crosses and stuff like that, but they weren't so synchronized. Now we made it into like a more of a ballet, you know, kind of a
it's a ballet to,
you know,
dead
crosses.
Run, Maribel.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it's, for someone who's not familiar at all with what this is, and by the way, I posted a link to the YouTube trailer on our Facebook page, Horses in the Morning, so you can go watch it because it's really cool. It's sort of a drill team type of competition. Is it standardized how many riders are on a team?
Yes. In order to compete, you can only have 8. You can't have 6. Oh, you can't have 10. But it is 8. And, 8 riders on side saddles.
Now, and it's always women.
It is, yes, it is always women. But back then when it first had started, they did have men helping out or riding as well. But now it's just an all-women sport.
So how did you get involved with this particular sport? I don't imagine that in the United States it's right up there in the top five.
No, it's not. It's not at all very common, but in our little world, I guess I can say, it's very common. So it's
really?
It's a lot family oriented, I'm sorry. And it's just something that you know, I got into it because of my father. So my father did it, you know, when he was young. In Mexico, and then, you know, he came to the United States, and he stayed here, you know, and we grew up around it because of him. So then,
so it's
you know,
a family tradition.
Yes, exactly. It's something that you know, we grew up doing, and because also, you know, you have horses, you love horses, so, you know, it's something to do, like baseball or soccer or basketball, you know.
So instead of going out and playing soccer in the backyard, you guys went out and
exactly.
got on the horses and raced around like crazy people.
Right, right. you know, now, you have a certain, you know, once you get a certain age that you're good enough, I mean, you can be, I have sisters that are ride as well. You know, I started at 13. My other sister started at 10, and one of my youngest sisters started at 5 competing. So it
wow.
all depends on your ability and how good you are.
Mm-hmm. So are there – tell us how a kind of a mid-level average competition, how does that progress? Are there different rounds? Are there different – how does that work? So kind of take us
yes.
through the competition.
Yes, well, there is different rounds. First, you prepare. I mean, you have a whole year to prepare. We start in March, like beginning March. and then there is a pre-state. There is a state, a regional, and then your national here in the States. And then you also, what you're trying to do, your goal at the end of the year is try to qualify to go to the nationals in Mexico. You know, that's like the mm-hmm. Super Bowl, you know, here.
Yeah, right. So when you guys are, you're getting ready, you're practicing, and your first competition of the season, everybody puts their horses in the trailer, drives to the appropriate showgrounds. How does the competition for that day work?
Okay. Well, we have a 20-minute drill that, you know, you go in there just to, you know, warm up your horses, have the horse, you know, be okay with the surroundings as far as the different arenas. So they give you like a 20-minute before everything starts. Like say the event starts at 10 o'clock. Okay, we're there, you know, first practices will start at 5:30 in the morning, depending on how many girls are participating. So, you know, we have to sometimes get up at 3 in the morning, depending on how far it is to get going. You know, 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, you're up, getting your horses ready, you know, let's go. You know, but the day before, of course, you put everything in the horse trailer, and you get everything ready, your clothing, everything ready. So in the morning when you wake up at 3 or 4 in the morning, all you do is get your horse, put him in the trailer, and off we go.
Off you go. So you get
yes.
sort of a non-judged warm-up time in the morning, which is very common in various
yes.
disciplines, so that everybody gets to get in the arena
mm-hmm.
and get the yah-yahs out.
Right.
So are
mm-hmm.
there separate rounds of competition for each team, or is it just once and done?
No, each team, we have one book that we get judged on, and we get judges that come from Mexico that are, you know, well aware of the points and the judging and everything, and we're all judged the same.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So one more quick question about say it for me because I'm saying it wrong and I feel terrible. Escaramuza?
Okay. You kind of have it. You're pretty good. Escaramuza.
Oh, it's that R that I'm fouling up. Okay, Escaramuza. Ooh, sounds exotic.
Escaramuza.
Now, anyone who goes to watch the trailer or goes to YouTube and just types in Escaramuza will see that there are some kick-butt awesome outfits that you guys wear. Are there reasonably tight parameters on how the dress is done, or do you have pretty much free rein on them?
No, we have there's two different ways of dressing. There's one that's Adelita, which is the dress, and you know that's a really poofy dress that goes around the horse, that flares around the horse. And then we dress as charras, which means it's a more tighter form-fitting skirt with, you know, your shirt, your bows. And, you know, you can see more how you're sitting sideways, you know, on the side saddle with our form of dress. And but either way, you can do either way of dressing. And, yes, there is, you know, there's colors you can't, there's colors you can't use. And, yes, there is, you know, you get judged. You can't, you know, if for any reason, if you go in there with red, you cannot wear red. So they would disqualify you, and you can't even perform. You know, you don't get points off. They just disqualify you. Yes.
Huh.
So, yes, there is everything that we wear. Yeah, everything that we wear is you know, it's in a book, you know, and it tells you, okay, you can wear these colors. These are the colors that are allowed. This is the type of material you can use. And that's how we go off and do our costumes, according to the rule book.
Huh. So tell people how they can find the documentary, Riding from the Heart, that was done, which is beautifully done, by the way, and who they should contact if they're interested in becoming involved in the sport.
Well, there's different – I can certainly help with who you can contact. You can just go into our Facebook Las Azaleas page and just leave us a message, and I'm always happy to return, you know, any kind of information that is needed or asked, and I can do that. And then I can get the nearest – because there's different groups all around, and so I can get whatever is closest to – you know, that person that's asking for the information. As far as getting the documentary, I know you can purchase it on Amazon, or you can also view it on Hulu.
Oh, we have Hulu. That's good. So if you've got any kind of a streaming system on your computer for streaming Hulu, Amazon Prime, or on your TV like a Roku or a Google Stick, just type in Escaramuza, Riding from the Heart, and it's a documentary. I strongly encourage folks to get it. It was lovely and beautiful. And thank you so much, Maribel, for coming on the show this morning. We appreciate it. It was a lot of fun, and I've learned a lot.
Okay. You can also get it on Pony Highway.
Project. Pony Highway. That's the producer. Yeah.
Yes. You can also get it through there. Just go on their Facebook.
Very good. Well, thank you very much, Maribel.
No, you are very, very welcome.
Cool stuff. What a fascinating conversation. And anything people are willing to do at a mad gallop side saddle, I'm all for it.
Escaramuza.
See, you do it so much better than me. So much better.
Escaramuza. Got to roll your R's. But, all right, well, we're going to go a little wacky, and we're going to play a song early. Are we still going to do that?
Sure, we'll play a song. Let me find a song in here. Hey, in time. We're going to play a Marianne Kennedy song.
I just sit here while Jennifer does all the work. So while she's calling the next guest, I get to sit here
and
listen to music.
There we go. We're gonna play Hey in Time by Marianne Kennedy, one of my favorites. Well, I'm going to hit the button
Hopefully.
Four times and make it play. It's
it
not going.
It wants to hear horses in the morning. There it goes.
So far from winter, the grass is green. Hard to imagine that we will need to feed the horses so slick and round. They're gonna need it when snow's on the ground. Hay in time, hay in time, making hay while the sun shines. Sweating bullets, I swear it's not.
Her first love, the one that started it all. He taught her how to master the posting trot and navigate her first hunter course. They spent hours together exploring the trails and hanging out in the barn. His name was doodled on every page in her school notebook. His coat gleamed in the sun as he met her at the gate each day, snuffling for a treat. From the first time she saw him poking his head out of the stall, the last time she patted him goodbye, he was, and always will be, her everything. This love story is brought to you by Nalox Advanced, providing complete support for a healthy digestive tract, which reduces the risk of colic and digestive upset. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Call 859-873-2974. Or visit kppusa.com to order today.
And thanks to Kentucky Performance Products for being a constant sponsor of our show. We love you guys. So our next guest is on the line, and I would guess I could say online stalking. It's getting a little out of control. I would like to welcome Alisa Wallace. Good morning, Alisa.
Good morning, guys.
How are you?
Doing well, thanks.
Well, I stalked you online all last weekend. All I did was watch video after video that was posted from the Mustang Magic makeover that happened in Fort Worth, Texas. Are you home now?
Yes, I've been home and got everybody in back to work and getting ready for eventing season now.
Yeah, it's coming up, and home for you is Georgia, and I would like to let's just start with the Mustang Magic makeover. What was this one called?
It was the Mustang Magic.
Mustang Magic, okay. So we had Mustang Magic. Last time we talked to you, you had a mare that was going to be in the Mustang Magic. Her name was Wynn, and she was kind of turning out to be a little bit of a freak for jumping, and I swore you weren't going to keep one, but then you got this one and you fell in love. So talk us through the weekend.
Well, just a little bit of a precursor on when she knew going into the Magic, because I've been there before, and it's a lot for horses to take. I swear my event horses would have killed themselves probably, because there are llamas, and there are many donkeys, and there are carts, and there are thousands of people, because there's also the Fort Worth Stock Rodeo that's going on at the same time, which is a humongous.
Yeah.
So, you know, I knew that going on, and I tried to make sure I prepared her. I had her out pretty early going to different places, but she is a sensitive, opinionated mare, and so I had a feeling that, she was going to be fairly easily excitable, and I knew she was going to be tough for her to handle the atmosphere. So when we got there, we ended up traveling that Monday. We left, and I like to break the trip up into 6 hours, so we had a layover, and then we got there, and we got to ride around the Fort Worth Stockyards and got to see Longhorns, and then we traveled over to the competition site. So there's a lot of work that went into just getting there, and then once you're there, you have pretty much all week, and it's different from any event. A horse trial, I will never complain, because it's like you wake up at 4 o'clock because you got to go and you got to take care of your horse, and then you've got meetings, and then you spend all day trying to just get your horse relaxed and walking around, and then you've got competition that starts at 6 p.m. and so then you don't get done until like 10, it seems like, and then it's time for bed, and then you got to wake up it's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. I'm so tired.
Yeah, you know,
and
what?
I only have one horse here. It's crazy.
They like to do things at night in Texas. I realized when I was visiting my family, it's like, oh, okay, the barrel race starts at 10. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
10 p.m.? They were done at like 2 in the morning. I'm like, I got to go home. I can't do this.
Yeah. It's pretty intense. It's a really incredible experience. And the Mustang Heritage Foundation does an incredible job putting on these makeovers to really help bridge the gap for the public to have access to horses that are trained. And, it is a lot because, there's some criticism sometimes that, oh, you're pushing your horses, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, if I was pushing, Wynn would not do it. She would be like, no, I'm not gonna. I mean, so, and it's a good experience for them. Even if they get excited and they get upset, they're having to go in there and learn how to deal with it, and they come away a smarter, more educated horse. So that's kind of how I feel about it. And really, all of the trainers do an excellent job of listening to their horses and just, because we're all really passionate about the Mustang, so we really want to put, our best foot out there and really give them a positive outlook on everything. So, that's kind of my little throw out there.
Right. So you're super busy the entire time. You're going. And how was Wynn taking it?
She was good. The main arena that we ended up having to do the freestyle in, she was not necessarily a fan of. Our first class that we had to do in that, because we are able to school in the arenas prior, but, like,
There's
and she is super
there.
Relaxed. It's a calmer, it's not the same when you have that crowded, electric. And so she was super relaxed, like felt great. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, she feels good. Like she's being so good. but then like when I went in for the first class that we did, which was the maneuvers class, and they had put the banners up, and she was like, those weren't there before. And yeah, so the first class, it was all I could do to just kind of keep her together and make her go forward. She was definitely the, I think, most tensed horse out of them all, but that's kind of how she has been from the beginning. She's always been a horse that's willing to do it, but relaxation has always been a tough thing for her. But that's what kind of makes her a really fun cross country horse, because that's where she has the most relaxation, is when she's able to gallop and jump fences in rhythm. And she really enjoys that. So this week was a little tough for her because she had to just do flat work, and she was getting kind of mad at me, I think, because it really felt once we made it to the top 10 and I was able to practice some jumping, it felt like her say, like, thank God, I'm so bored. Thank you. Jump now.
I love it. I love it. So you went in and did the trail class. And I watched your video of the trail class. I watched every video of every trail class. Why? I mean, I don't know why. I was just totally fascinated.
Oh, so you got to see the Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yeah, but I also got to see you do an amazing flying lead change when most everybody, only one other guy did a flying lead change in that. And you didn't end up in first after that. You were so far the best of all of them in the trail class. So
She was tight, so that plays a part in, and you know what they're looking for. If she could have been a little bit more relaxed, which, I mean, if I could move mountains, that would be fabulous too. But
yeah.
I mean, she was really good. Like, she was spooking so hard at that bridge, but she knew she had to go forward, and she trusted me, and she did it. And yeah, I mean, changes have always been easy for her. It's kind of like can be her happy place sometimes. She likes to do those, so I wasn't going to try to do it simple, because that just would not be happy.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, yeah, I appreciate all the support, but I didn't feel like, I felt like they placed me accordingly. I mean.
Well, and then we move to the freestyle, which I'm sure you probably start planning the second you get the horse and start playing with them, is what you can do in the freestyle. And what you did was so absolutely incredible. So just to paint a picture for those who haven't seen, we'll post the video. Alisa is on this Mustang that's 120 days out of being wild. Then she gets on it bareback, bridleless, and goes out and does just an absolutely incredible music freestyle that included freaking tempi changes, okay? Tempi changes, bridleless, saddleless, bareback, huge crowd, and then the piece de resistance. Tell everybody what you did.
Well, first of all, I have to say, I was actually a little disappointed in my freestyle. Not in my horse, in myself, just because I kind of wasn't sure the type of horse I was going to have in there, right? So I didn't necessarily have everything planned. And my biggest stress was jumping the 4-foot wall that I had. So,
shocking.
I mean, I know she can do it, but, there's still a lot of pressure to do it in front of the crowd. And I was like, okay, what happens if I knock it down? Well, if I knock it down, which we ended up doing, I have to put it back up, and then, I felt like I got a little flustered, and I got annoyed. When I watch the video, I get a little annoyed with myself, because I'm like, oh, I missed it, where if I would have just waited, it would have been perfect with the music, and then, you know, because she was a little tight, she wasn't doing her, like, she was jigging, essentially. She wasn't really passaging, which she has a phenomenal passage if I'm on the ground. But
her passage, okay, you're passaging on a horse that's 120 days out of the wild.
Yeah, well,
are you kidding
me?
I'm
doing another video, like a wrap-up that we're doing from, of Texas, and you'll see her true pee off, and then your mouth will drop to the floor. Like,
that is so great.
It's correct. It's not like,
she's
excited,
just but the music's going, and I could tell you were trying to pee off and passage. It was just absolutely stunning. And again, bridleless, saddleless, pee offing, passaging, and then you gum around and you gallop and you jump a 4-foot wall with no standards. It's like a puissance wall. Your filly couldn't see the other side of this, and jumps it, knocks it down. And obviously, the only thing that you can do at that point, you dismount, leader over there, you set it back up, you remount, which was awesome, remounting bridleless saddles on the super excited horse, come around and jump it again and clear it. It was absolutely the most inspiring thing I've ever seen. And I like that you knocked it down and you were able to display the horsemanship to get off, set it back up, get back on and do it again. I mean, that's what you do when you jump. And I really feel like you should have placed a lot higher, obviously, because not that I'm biased or anything, because that was such an ultimate display of absolute great horsemanship to see you go through that. And I just thought, my God, if she'd only had a couple sliding stops, you'd have won the whole thing. It seemed like the judges really liked the rating.
Well, you know, I have to say, because again, I've gotten a little bit of criticism. I've gotten some criticism on how, like, my horse didn't look comfortable. She was tense or whatever. And I obviously broke pattern when my horse went towards the wall. And my response to that is, if you asked me, like 2 minutes before I went in there, Elisa, are you going to gallop her full blast and like just let go? I'd be like, you're crazy. But, you know, like in that moment, I said, screw it. I'm having fun. Let's just gallop. I'm in like a walled facility. Who cares? Like, I was careful to not aim at the gate because she would probably think that I was asking her to jump it. She wasn't feeling the stops, I have to say. So, yeah, she can, little hussy, but she'd much rather prefer to run and jump. And I just kind of went out there. I had a blast. Like, we just had fun together. You know, she was excited. And again, like, I knew she had changes, so that was something I was going to try to show. And then when I went down that line, I was like, okay, well, I know I can do fours. And so I did fours. And then I was like, oh, yeah. And then I would ask for another one. I was like, oh, crap, she did it. And I did another one. I was like, oh, look. And I was like, oh, we just did good girl. Like, yeah. That kind of was the thought process behind it. So.
She was absolutely awesome. Now, I think you ended up, I believe, in fourth place. So what's that like when you're lining up with all those other Mustangs waiting on? I mean, you've got to be happy for everybody, right?
Oh, sure. The camaraderie that we're all rooting for each other because, you know, the public really knows, kind of, unless you have done these competitions and you've been through it, it's like going kind of through war and coming out the other side. I mean, like, you know, it's like going through that. Yeah. You are all bonded to each other. So we're all super happy. And everybody was really amazing. Like, when I came out, they were like, in my book, like, even my competitors and who are my friends, they were like, you won in my book. Like, and so that was really cool. But yeah, standing there, I was getting a little perturbed at my mare because everybody else's horses are standing there like, oh, we're so tired. And Wynn's like, oh my God, I just got to gallop. Why are we standing still? I want to keep moving. I'm like, seriously? Stop.
Yeah, but how many times have we had that event horse? I mean, I always have horse that won't stand still, and it just seems par for the course as to what some of us English riders kind of have to deal with on a regular basis. So
thought
you were representing the eventing community quite well.
I think some of the award presenters were a little worried when I came to get my fourth place because she was like jumping towards them. I was like, don't worry, she's fine. Like, yeah, I'm totally just in a neck rope, but we're okay.
It's like getting bit checked. You're like, we'll get to bit check when we can. It happens. So you won fourth place, but you also won kind of, I think, the coolest award in the whole thing.
Yeah, I ended up winning fan favorite, which I have to say was amazing because when we got to do that, the texting, they were going to try to do it by texting, but the internet stuff wasn't working. So they ended up doing it old-fashioned by applause. And they did it through the way we performed. So it wasn't by, like, hip number. It was from how we performed. And so my friend Kevin, who proposed to his fiance, which was awesome because I had known about it, and I was a part of it. And so I thought for sure he was going to get it because he had a fair amount, like he had a good range of applause. And then it went to Sierra, who was second, and she had a good one too. And then it went to me, and it was deafening. Like,
are you serious?
You can't pick it up on the video. It was in. I was just like, wow. It was truly like an honor to like. I never quite had like a feeling like that before, where it was like so deafening, and it went on for so long. Like it was really kind of like a moment. And yeah, it was really incredible.
Oh my gosh, that had to be awesome. And what's great about it is, you guys, Alisa is in Texas. She's surrounded by all these Western people, all these Western riders. She's in her dressage finest, her white breeches, her helmet, the only one wearing a helmet.
Oh, yeah,
wearing
I got looks like I was a clown all week long.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. I mean, you know, God forbid you don't have any bling or, you know, so you actually were like dressed like a proper equestrian in my book. Boots and breeches, and she's bareback and bridleless on a Mustang. Okay, so put that picture in your mind. And the fact that a lot of these Western people, I mean, they all kind of came behind you to vote for you for fan favorite. It was really cool that happened, and I wish I could have heard the applause on the video.
Yeah, we got video of it, but it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't quite. It was one of those moments you had to be there to feel it, because it was also like an energy. It was really like, if I take anything from Texas, I mean, I learned a lot. And again, I tend to, you know, kind of kick at myself over the freestyle because I felt like I could have shown my horse in a different aspect if I would have done so. A couple other things, but whatever. I was just really happy with all the support, and everybody has been great.
You did great. And then the question of the hour is, you were crowdfunding to try to win. So how'd that go? The auction, everything like that. And next time we get you on, we'll talk about your new Mustang. But did you win?
I did win.
Woo-hoo!
I did. It was actually funny because people were like, you must have been so emotional. And it was, I was like, no, not really. Because everything with this mare has, she's always proved me wrong. So it's like, why even bother? Like, you know, if I'm supposed to be the one to keep her, it's going to happen. Because that's just how everything has happened with her. Everything has just fallen into place. Like, and it's just kind of been meant to be type thing. And so, you know, it was a public auction, and I pitied the poor fool who would want to take her, because I'm pretty sure in the next week they'd be like, yeah, no, you can come get her. But no, because she will, if she gets it in her fancy to just jump out of the paddock if she's not quite happy. Or she's very much like having an advanced, like she's like my 3-star horse, Johnny, like very much a diva, likes things done a certain way, is sensitive about certain things. She can be annoying, but I love her. But so, yeah, and it was really amazing because I had a lot of supporters in the crowd, and people who were actually, the lady who ended up bidding against me in the end, she was actually trying to make sure that I got win. So she didn't realize that she was actually bidding against me. And so it ended up, when she found out that I got the bid on her, and it worked out because I did raise a fair amount of money, which can go towards her training and all that good stuff. But so I won her for $2,100, and the trainers get half of what the horses sell for.
Perfect.
And then I won $1,000. So I got... they paid me $50 to take her home. Woo!
That's awesome. Yay! That's fantastic.
And in the horse world, that's darn good.
Right?
Yeah.
Heck yeah. I know.
Anytime
I don't know if I made money.
Check.
I doubt it. But it kind of feels good to say that they had to pay me to take her home.
That's awesome. And you had done some crowdfunding, too, which is going to help with her training and maybe your
right.
next Mustang, which we've got to let you go. But tell us just in, like, a one-minute version of what your new Mustang is like and how unique.
So my new Mustang's a coming four-year-old, and he's actually I'm so lucky to have Ellie Fitzprice is sponsoring him for me.
Dunstan Winery.
Yeah, that's
really good.
He is he's a black Appaloosa who has white around his eyes and his nose, and he's got striped feet, and he is hilarious. He's going to be such a fun horse. And he's very curious and kind of take things in stride, and I'm excited to see where he's going to go. He's pretty athletic, and I'm soon just going to have a barn full of branded horses, which people make fun of me for, but I
no
like
way.
It that way. So, you know, the goal is to one day have a branded horse running around Rolex or trying to make the team with them. That's what I would like to do. So we'll see. Well, I don't know. Well, I'm going to see how far Wynn can go, and hopefully I've got a couple. I've got Arlequin, which is the black Appaloosa, and I have a couple of other ones that are coming to me in training. So it's exciting stuff and fun stuff.
Well, Lisa, we will definitely keep up to date with you and make sure you let us know what's going on with you, and we'll let everybody know. And I can't wait to have you on next time. And next time you're going to be promoting your Mustang training videos. I'm pretty excited about
right.
right?
So does that mean that then you're going to have Mustang?
Oh, yeah. As soon as I get the training videos, I'm buying a Mustang.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what the hell to do with it.
You ride
it.
You get it. You put a halter on it, and then you get on it.
Uh-huh.
That's all.
Yeah.
That's all.
That's probably it.
And then you
that's
put a
true.
Saddle on it, and you put a bit on it, and then you put it on the trailer, and you go show. It's not hard.
Okay. That sounds easy enough. Oh, we love you, Lisa. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you soon, okay?
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Good luck. I love her.
Monty Roberts has been using and talking about Core Gem for 4 years now. Core Gem is one of the leading suppliers of Brazilian killer bee propolis, both in liquid and cream. As horse owners, we want a topical product that provides superior results for girth itch, saddle irritation, rein rot, and all fungal issues, even scratches and ringworm. Core Gem does it all. We also want a product that heals wounds fast and minimizes the appearance of scars. Core Gem does that too. And we want it to regrow hair in affected area and reduce skin inflammation, and Core Gem does that. Plus, it contains no steroids, antibiotics, or chloride. It is non-toxic. It's even safe when your horses lick it, and we know they will. Used and recommended by veterinarians, breeders, and trainers from all over. Get Core Gem today at coregeminimals.com. That's coregeminimals.com. And use the coupon code HRN2015. That stands for Horse Radio Network. HRN2015, and get 10% off your next order just because you're a listener to this show. That's HRN2015 at coregeminimals.com.
I say pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It's that time of day, time of week, when we read the ads that you guys send us that thank God you didn't write, because they're terrible. it's time for really bad ads. Jennifer, what is today's prize, and what is the special prize that we're giving after really bad ads?
Well, here's how it works. The weekly prize, every week, one person who submits an ad that we read on the air gets a prize. This week, it is The Horse Lover, A Cowboy's Quest to Save the Wild Mustangs by H. Allen Day. How appropriate for today. And thanks to the folks at EquityMFG.com, every month we are going to randomly draw a name from everyone who has submitted an ad, whether it was good enough to get on the air or not, and that person will win a Flexin' Fork from Equity MFG. So that's going to happen at the end of the reading of the ads.
Sounds good. And so we will start, after the really bad ads, we're actually giving away a Flexin' Fork.
That's right. At the end of the ad, we're going to pick a name.
Woo-hoo. We're going to pick a number. Well, actually, I think hopefully Diane Berto of Equity MFG is going to be able to come on and join us. But if not, that's kind of how this works, is everybody who's submitted something, like Jennifer said, on the air or not, gets to do it. And so today is the day. End of the year, they're going to give away a Shaken Fork. And I got to tell you, the Flexin' Fork thing, I bless her little heart. I have a little teenager that Lisa is one of my horses, and she comes out all the time, and she always wants to ride, and she rides the horse, but part of her lease is that she has to help me clean the pastures, and she always says to me, "Where's the Jamie Fork? Where's the Jamie Fork?" I'm like, I have the Jamie Fork. You don't get to use the Jamie Fork, and the Jamie Fork is the one that is a Flexin' Fork, but it's actually kind of a step up from a Flexin' Fork because it's carbon fiber handle, so it's like super light. And Joseph sent that to me, and because my husband and I were always fighting over the Flexin' Fork, he put my name on it. So it's actually a personalized Flexin' Fork, and they'll put, if you call them and you ask for it, they'll put your name on yours. And so it's, everybody calls it the Jamie Fork. Where's the Jamie Fork? I'm like, you can't use it. You're not old enough. You have to sweat.
That's why it's the Jamie
crappy fork. Yeah,
that's right.
Exactly. That's why it's the Jamie Fork. You can't have it.
That's right.
So we love Equity MFG, and you guys, if you don't have a Flexin' Fork, go ahead and get one. It'll last you forever. Mine have been going for years, and we clean pastures and stalls, and we got a rainstorm right now, actually, Jennifer, going on, so
really?
I'm going to have to go clean up wet poo. Yeah. Turned the horses out last night. Lo and behold, it's been raining. Fortunately, it's only 57 degrees, so it's a nice summer rain, if you will. But
tough out there.
Isn't it amazing, too, how the horses, Jennifer, it's pouring down rain all night long, and I walk out there at 5 this morning to check on all of them, and they all have access to stalls and to shade and to go undercover, and they're all standing in the rain.
I don't know. You know why they do it? Because they want to get wet, so that gives them another opportunity to roll in something disgusting.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess
they know
so.
It sticks better when you're wet.
Yeah, whatever. All right, so our first ad comes to us from Mona Wheeler. Mona Wheeler sent this one in. She did not write it. Female young horse with Sattle. Sattle. I think it's a Sattle. Young female horse with sale, 300 with Sattle. Wild, not broken. Was once broken. Need gone ASAP. Oh, if you can catch her, you can have her.
If you can catch her, she's yours. That's pretty good. Was once broken. Yeah. And if she sticks around much longer, she's going to be broken again.
Yeah.
This one is from Kathleen. Thank you for sending it in. 5-year-old paint horse, $700 in Woodville. I have a 5-year-old paint horse, had him for 4 years, and I cannot handle him anymore. So I'm asking $1,400. But I'll take $1,200. He will come with saddle, mouth bit, and rope. Or we'll trade him for a good working lawnmower or parts for one. Serious offers only.
Why would you say I'm asking $1,400 and I'll take $1,200, number one? Number two, you've had him for 4 years and you can't handle him anymore. You should not have a horse, especially when you call things mouth bits and ropes. Really?
Yeah. You know what?
That's
if you show
you
up with a bucket
him.
Of bolts and an old tractor seat, she'll give you that horse.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what it boils down
to. A mouth bit and a rope. horses. You know what the worst thing is? Somebody's going to buy that, Jennifer, and they're going to take that mouth bit home and use it with that rope. Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. I hate Craigslist. All right. Horses. $100. Chad wants me to sell a horse, and he's like, put in that on Craigslist. And I was like, I would rather die. I would rather die than advertise a horse on Craigslist. horses, $100 in Divine. Two horse, S. One is 17 quiet, quater horse, and one five-year-old crappy appy. I've never heard him called a crappy appy. Wow, that's a selling tactic right there. Sell both together, comma, comma. Willant till sell separately due to their attached. Come S with stuff. Make me offer OBO or trades for alcohols. Smoker, frozen meat, firewood, or truck. We've never had anybody want to trade horses for booze before. You might have a problem.
Oh, my. That's pretty funny. Alcohols.
Is it both? Uh-huh. Alcohols. I'll take whiskey, Jack, vodka,
yeah.
Rum. I don't care. He
doesn't
it.
Want one $100 bottle of champagne. He wants 500 bottles of hooch.
A dollar. Yeah, exactly. Give me some hooch.
Oh, my goodness. That's pretty good. Yeah. This one is from RJ. For sale. Mister is a 14-1-hand, 12-year-old, registered Tennessee walking horse gelding. He is very forward-moving and gated. Built more like a Morgan, he is really sweet, pretty boy. Loads, clips, and is good for the farrier. Well, why they submit this ad? That being said, at 62 years old, I'm a bit off more than I could chew. Uh-oh, here it comes.
Oh,
as
boy.
I sit
oh,
here
boy.
Nursing broken ribs and a collarbone and a fractured shoulder blade, I know
oh, my God.
He needs someone younger than me. An experienced horse person could turn this project into a moneymaker or a nice smooth ride for him or herself. I just need to recoup my initial $1,000 and $50,000 in hospital bills.
Crap. Are you kidding me? I like the ad, that last part. So the horse had broke his ribs, collarbone, and fractured his shoulder blade? Oh, my God. And you're trying to sell
yeah.
it? You should shoot it. No, or you should, I don't know if that's the right thing. Oh, my God, Senator, somebody help this poor guy. Why would you buy that? It's 12, by the way. I mean, it's not like a two-year-old.
Well, here we go.
Somebody sold
in the in a horse's defense, it could be that our conscientious but a little late to the realization seller put the saddle on backwards. I mean, let's, you know, it could be user error.
This is awful.
Oh my gosh.
The next one was sent in by Lila Thompson. Lila sent in a vintage horse trailer, and this is in High Desert, and it's awful. Okay, so you remember those like old timey convertible trailers with the, it looks like a normal two horse like on the front, but it's got no roof at all, and the horse is
no
just
roof.
Supposed to stick their head up and out of it. The tires are the only good looking part of this. They've got cute little white wall tires, and but it's a wooden paneling. It's I wouldn't put a horse in there. Oh gosh, why would you ship a horse in that thing? Plus, not to mention the fact that why would you put a horse in a convertible trailer anyway? I mean, they didn't make fly masks back then. How damaged were the horse's eyes when they got to where they needed to go? Just from bugs.
You put a little helmet on.
Anyway, the ad says, wheels are 37 Ford artillery vehicle. Firestone 3-inch white wall tires. Call. So basically, it looks like they're just trying to sell the tires and the trailer kind of comes with it.
That's exactly what they're doing. They had this old piece of crap sitting in the backyard, and they had a really nice set of tires that they bought at an auction. They're going, dang, we could get rid of this piece of junk by reselling these tires.
This is wood and rust is what this thing is. Oh, my gosh,
yes.
This is terrible.
That's the only two ingredients left. All right, this one is from Beth. Pony for sale, $150. Ooh, at that price, it's going to be good. I have owned this pony for several months. I paid $450 for her. She is 13 hands high and was saddle broken when I purchased her. I saw pictures of her previous owner riding her. I have never had a saddle on her or ridden her. I do not have any experience with horses, which leads me to think that this is the perfect size for beginners. I do not have time to take care of her. No one else in my family has any interest in horses. I would not say she's child safe. I think if child or an adult that has experience with horses, they would be fine. I have spent so little time with her that she will have to be worked with. She thinks she's the boss.
Oh, poor pony.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Wow.
Poor pony. Oh, that makes me sad. Like, why would you buy a horse and then put it in the backyard and then forget about it? I don't understand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's an impulse buy. Yeah, right there.
Here, Danny. Let me get the puppy outside. All right.
Uh-oh.
So the next
popular
one is a puppy is awake. Hold on. Talk amongst yourself.
Okay. Talk amongst yourself. This next ad is
okay, I got
submitted.
I'm back.
Oh, you're back. Oh, good. Because I want you to read this next one.
Yeah, Carrie sent in the next one, and it's pretty fantastic. The title of the article is Kittens. Does anyone have a litter of little kittens? The size that still has their tails up? I need some for a photo shoot. Not to keep. Not to keep! Just making that clear. Not to keep. All caps. Not to keep.
Can you imagine how many emails she got?
I got a litter of kittens. I'll drop them off, but I'll pick them back up. Sure, I promise I will. I'll pick them right back up. Or how about if you can catch them, you can keep them. You know, that's
yeah,
always
there we
that.
Go. Just making that clear, I'm not keeping the kittens. And Edna sent this one in. Thank you, Edna. Black and white stallion for $1,500 in Westernville. Black and white stallion has a big boy. He round 17.7 hands.
Oh,
and
my
big.
God, he's huge. No kidding.
8 year old, so getting into prime, ... Stallion beautiful and wheelie bred, B-R-E-A-D, stands for vet, fairy, R, and X ties. Needs highest quality foods. Will be easy keeper.
Of course. Uh-huh.
Need training. May need shoes. Can be hot. 1-500 firm. Would make a nice gelding. Text to see him.
Oh, my God. Let me get this straight. This is a 17.7 black and white stallion. Do we know what breed? Is it even? He's a hot stallion, needs high quality foods, but he'll be an easy keeper. By the way, he's not trained and he's not wearing any shoes because we can't get near him to get shoes on him. But if you can catch him, you can have him. Kind of one of those.
He'd make
That's
a nice
really
gelding.
Bad
ad. He'd make a really nice.
Well,
gelding.
Every stallion would make a nice gelding. Let's be honest, especially one that's not. Oh gosh, like this next one. Denise sent in one that would also make a very nice gelding, I'm sure. The title of the ad is Stud. Stud. Oh, my gosh. We should put them in training with the people in touch with the people in Westernville because the ad is looking for a stud, prefer paint or quarter, and within 50 miles of Denver, Iowa. Not wanting to spend a lot on a stud fee. Well, this guy's an easy keeper, and he's yours
for
$1,500 bucks.
Yeah.
In that firm, so that would be great. Looking for a stud, prefer painter quarter, and within 50 miles of Denver, Iowa. I didn't know. That's amazing. Not wanting to spend a lot on a stud fee. Who is looking into Iowa's Craigslist? Denise, do you live in Iowa? I'm going to go to Iowa Craigslist right now. That'd be a good one to pull from.
This is going to shows. Going for Denver, Iowa.
So, we need to pick a winner for this batch.
Winner for this batch, yes.
I like Shelley's with the trade for alcohol. That's a new one.
That
you have a favorite. The kittens is good.
The kittens was very funny. Oh, I'm really
you
torn
too.
Between kittens and the alcohol. Let's go with alcohol.
Alcohol it is. Cheers.
So Shelley wins the book.
And are you going to get Diane on the line?
We haven't found Diane. So I think we're going to have to pick a number between 1 and 100 on her behalf. And whoever wins it, if everyone else is insulted, we'll let Diane know.
Okay. So do you want me to pick?
You're going to pick a number between 1 and 100. I've got myself a little spreadsheet here with numbers all over it and names next to them. And what we did, everyone who submitted an ad during the month of January, whether we read the ad on air or not, is in the spreadsheet. And Jamie's going to pick a number.
And we had 100 people submit ads. Am I going to pick a number that's a blank?
No, you will not pick a number that's a blank.
Okay. Well, I've got to go with 99.
Ooh, look at you. 99. Scroll, 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 scroll. 99. Haley MacDonald. Old MacDonald had a farm. Has won herself an EquityMFG.com Flex and Fork. And what we'll do is contact Haley and ask her whether she needs a narrow tine or a regular tine. And the good folks at EquityMFG.com will send it up to her.
Congratulations, Haley. That's awesome. You guys, thank you so much for joining us and putting up with Jennifer and I. No Glenn today. Girl power. I think we can wrap it up, Jen. I think we're done.
I think our work here is done. Thank you again to folks at Kentucky Performance Products for being steadfast supporters of the Freestyle Friday Horses in the Morning show. And thank you to Cora Gem for sponsoring our song today. And the folks at EquityMFG.com for sponsoring really bad ads. You can find links to today's show at horsesinthemorning.com. Go to your app store and download the app, Horse Radio Network. Download it today. It's quick, it's free, it's easy, and you can listen to all your favorite shows. And you can follow Horse Radio Network on Twitter, at Horse Radio. And now I'm going to
Who's in the Super Bowl this weekend? I mean, it's in Arizona. So it's Seattle, right? Who else? It's Seattle and New England. Jennifer, make a pick.
Seattle, please.
Okay, I'll go New England then.
I'm so sick of New England winning. Gosh.
Seattle won last year.
Well, New England's won too much, Seattle. And besides,
they're
out
for the
best.
All right, go New England. Their quarterback is hot. All right, everybody have a great weekend. Go Texas Reds. Spay, neuter, geld. Peace. Love ya. Their quarterback is a dirtbag, I should say that, but he is hot.
One cancels the other out. Yeah.